Welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa.
And hello, my name's Kay.
We will be reading from the Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah. The most important question. Kay, would you take it from there, please?
Yeah, I will. We're continuing on about the four horses.
Oh, that's right, the four horses,
yeah, right, in Revelation. And, you know, it was the white horse. No, I think it started out the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse.
And is the pale horse death?
And yes, the pale horse is death.
Okay.
Yes, it is. The pale horse is the one that will come through with the sword and wipe out a percentage of the population. So maybe we're going to get some questions answered here by reading into this tonight. There are many more questions that can be asked and answered about the tribulation, and certainly a large number of questions that cannot currently be answered, yet will be answered when the time comes. However, the most important question on this subject applies not to the tribulation itself, but to you and to me. That question is simply, how will we respond to the reality of the tribulation? Because make no mistake, the tribulation is real. It is coming. We can depend on that fact because we can depend on the truth of God's prophetic word. So, what will we do about it? Here are three responses I encourage you to consider, not only now, but also as you read through the chapters that follow. The response of praise. As a Christian, I have mixed emotions whenever I think through these trials to come. I cannot read about these four horsemen without sensing that dualty in my own heart. Having been forgiven of my sin through the salvation offered by Jesus Christ and believing that Scripture teaches us about the rapture, I am grateful I will never see those evil riders nor experience the terrible tragedy they will bring upon this world. I will be worshiping the Lamb around God's throne. Even so, I feel a deep sense of grief and mourning for those who will suffer during those days.
That is going to be terrible, the people that have to go through that.
So I agree with him. Just thinking about, you know, a deep sense of grief and mourning for those who will suffer during those days. That's hard to swallow. It is. We don't want anybody to have to go through that. And then the response of passion in Matthew 24, 32 through 35, Jesus concludes his lesson on the future tribulation by telling a story about a fig tree. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and put forth leaves, you know summer's near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This parable points out that when the leaves come out on the tree, we know summer is near. In the same way, future events cast their shadows before them. Even though Jesus was talking about his return, the lesson applies to all of prophecy. Will we know? Christ's return is not far off. Nevertheless, Jesus warned that we will only know the approximate time of his return. That's it, and we will know it is close. He had said in verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We can only see the signs that show us that the time is near. I believe that the beginning of the end is quickly approaching, but we have no idea how soon it will arrive. The best course of action is stated in the Apostle Paul's admonition in Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. If we live as if Christ will come tomorrow, we will always strive to be prepared for it.
I think we all get lax, and we sometimes don't do that.
I think that we can be persuaded that way. I really do. Yes, I know. I'm guilty myself. And it's like, oh.
We don't know when our last day on earth will be.
We don't know what our last breath is.
We have no... It's shocking seeing all the deaths that are occurring and people who didn't know their life was going to be taken that day.
Right.
We don't know. You have to be prepared. If it's your last day, where do you want to go?
The response of personal evaluation. The writer of Hebrews said it this way. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, from Hebrews 2:3. One of the reasons God gives us these prophecies, dire and foreboding as they are, is to warn us of what is coming so we can prepare in advance to avoid the terrible times that loom the world's future. Pastor Stephen Cole tells a story of one man who heeded the warning before it was too late. Joe, by his own admission, was not a religious man. He drank too much, he gambled, he swore like a sailor, lied, cheated to get what he wanted. God had no place in his thoughts for him or his life. When Joe finally retired, he relished the prospect of spending his days on the fishing lake, but a persistent pain in his stomach drove him to the doctor. His greatest fear was that he was going to be forced to stop drinking. But the doctor's report was even worse. It was cancer, and it had spread beyond control. The doctor gave Joe less than 6 months to live. While Joe was at the hospital, a pastor dropped by and talked with him about eternity. Joe had heard religious talk of this sort many times before, but he'd always blown it off and continued in his decadent ways. But now, for the first time in his life, Joe listened. A long-suppressed truth awoke in his heart, convicting him of squandering his entire life in utterly selfish pursuits. He trembled, knowing he would soon face God's judgment, but the pastor explained how Christ had paid the penalty for Joe's sin, and on that basis, he offered forgiveness and eternal life if Joe would only receive it. Joe gladly accepted the gift, and he died in peace shortly afterward.
Wow.
Joe's case is what we commonly call deathbed repentance. It is neither the most noble nor the safest way to come to Christ. But God, in his infinite love and desire to have us with him throughout eternity, accepts even those who come at the last minute. Jesus promised salvation to the thief who was dying on the cross next to him, from Luke 23:39-43. In his parable of the workers in the vineyard, the master paid the workers who had come in the last hour a day of the day the same wage as those who came in the first hour. Yeah.
I know. Isn't that...
that story?
Yeah, and how many people got mad about that, right? Well, he only worked for 5 minutes.
And he got the same wage
as I got. He got the same wage as I got.
Our God gives us better than we deserve. He is a merciful God who is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, from 2 Peter 3:9. But he never forces us to come to him. The choice is always ours. The important thing to note is that Joe came to Christ because he heeded the warnings. He saw the signs that his end was near and took appropriate action. Deathbed repentance, though it was, he did the wise thing. He acted on what he knew and took the right step in the face of it. It was late, but not too late. Through prophecy, God has made the darkness of the world's approaching doom clear to us. The time has come and now looms on the horizon when it will be too late. When the tribulation arrives and God's people are taken to heaven, the door will close on those who have heard and rejected the gospel.
I cannot. Could you imagine?
No. You know, and when that door closes, that door is not going to open. It's not going to open again. It's going to be too late to knock on the door because you will not be heard. The knock will not be heard.
Some people don't realize that, Kay.
Yeah.
That God will pull and talk to you so much, and then that's it. then you're the enemies, you know, right. It's...
Well, or waiting until the tribulation arrives and God's people are taken to heaven and he closes the door and you wait until it's too late.
Right.
Just almost like Joe, you know? Mm-hmm. How sad that this happens to so many people,
mm-hmm.
you know? But praise God that he does not desire not one.
I know.
Not one, you know? Like the thief on the cross. I mean, that just kind of always blows my mind. And now that we just came past Easter, you know, and, you know, every year we hear the story about, will you take me, you know? And that thief asks him, will you take me with you to paradise? And Jesus tells him, I assure you that you will be there with me. You know, it's no different than he's speaking to you, Teresa, or speaking to me, girl.
Kay, I think people think it's going to be boring or hard and that they have to quit living their life completely the way they're living it. I think they are told a bunch of lies. And that prevents people from wanting to become a Christian. And that is the enemy telling you the lies because he wants your soul. And he wants you to die before you accept Christ so he can have you. And it's very, very important. All these horses we were talking about, it is going to be bad if you are not a Christian. You're going to have to suffer for eternity. And that's not good. I urge you today to take the step Joe took. Take it while the tribulation is still just an approaching shadow and not the dooming finality of God's wrath. God's grace is available to rescue you from the wrath, so there's no need to despair. But there is a sense of urgency to his offer. Act now, and you need have no concern about being caught in the tribulation. Anybody who's listening and you're pondering and you're going back and forth, well, I'll do it next week. Just like I had my friend tell me, well, I don't want to do that yet because I like sex too much. And I want to go live and have fun and party and have sex and then I'll become a Christian. And I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. That's so scary to me because you just don't know when it's your last day.
And you don't know when he's going to come.
No.
He says in the... It's not a blink
of the eye. Yes, it is.
Is it a blink of the
eye? I think it is a blink of the eye. No?
A twinkle.
Twinkle of you?
I think it's a twinkle.
Oh.
I think it was the blink of the eye.
But
you know, he's going to breathe. He's going to breathe his breath, and it's going to be time. And I would hate to be caught in such a thing. I mean,
it's going to be chaos when he comes back because the Christians, just think about the people flying the planes, driving cars, they're going to be gone. There is going to be total chaos in the world because there's going to be wrecks. His children's going with him, and anything that they're driving or operating, they're not going to be there anymore.
Right.
And you know what? I don't know that some people will even realize what's happening at that point.
Maybe not.
Yeah, either.
Depending on where they live at and so forth. I mean, it could be that they do not realize what's going on. If they don't have any connection to Jesus in any way, you know, if they're not a churchgoer, if they're not a radio listener to Christian stations, or, you know, not living with someone that is a Christ believer, they might very well be so surprised about being left behind.
Yeah, there is a book series Left Behind.
Oh, yes, there is.
That is a one. It's not. It's fictional, but it really, a lot of this could happen.
Right.
A whole lot could happen. So I think.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron. Is it Kirk Cameron?
Tim LaHaye and Jenkins. What was this? Was it Jenkins?
Well, Jenkins is doing The Chosen. Dallas Jenkins?
No. Tim LaHaye.
And?
It just Google Tim LaHaye, Left Behind, and start that. And actually, there are a few of those movies. There's probably four or five in the series, in the book series, which are really good, too. But we just want to tell you today, make sure you're ready. It's very, very important. And that is the history on the four writers. Father God, Kay and I come before everyone who is listening, and we bless them, Father. Bless them with your presence, and bless them with wisdom, and put people in their lives that will help them and guide them. We want to thank you for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. And next time, Antichrist. That is going to be wild in itself. And a lot of people are going to be blinded by that because he's going to be so nice. He's going to be handsome. He's going to do lots of wonderful things. And it's really the Antichrist coming for your soul. So anyway, we will see you next time. Thanks for coming.
Have a great week.